Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. There's so much to talk about, so much going on in the church, in our life, our culture. I want to begin this week, though, with an encouraging reflection. I mean, hopefully every program you tune into here on Fire on the Earth is encouraging. But in particular, what I want to do is just take a couple of verses out of the first chapter of John's Gospel, both as an example and just a way in which we can, in difficult times, good times, challenging times, everything in between, how the Word of God can be for us a source of great encouragement. And Scripture encourages us to, you know, lift your eyes to the heavens where your help comes from. You know, your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And over the years, many times we've talked about the habit of the writers of the New Testament, the apostles and others, beginning their letters with beautiful descriptions, sometimes hymns, declarations, proclamations of the glory and majesty of Jesus. And friends, the vision that each of them lived with of who Jesus is, which really was the result both of, for them, they knew Jesus personally, walked with Jesus, saw him, touched him, observed the crucifixion, saw Christ risen, and they saw and received a unique taste of his glory. But the church throughout history has also been aided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given to us by Christ himself, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit helps us penetrate the mystery and to be able to see what the apostles were able to see through the grace of God and to capture a vision of the person of Jesus in his glory, in his majesty, in his power, in his beauty. And that vision was a source of enormous strength, really the foundation of so much strength for the life of the apostles, no matter what circumstance they went through, because it was both enriching, it enlivens the heart, it softens the heart, it helps us see our own destiny when we behold the glory that's on the face of Jesus, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We get a glimpse and we get the help of the Holy Spirit who gives us conviction that what we're seeing we too shall possess in full at some point. That is when we rise, we stand before the Lord, and he welcomes us into the kingdom of his Father, and he gives us a full share in his glory, which is our destiny. The apostles knew that life on earth was short, that most days it was going to be a trial. They understood that the fallen world is just that. It's fallen. And it's fallen because it's a battleground, that the kingdom of darkness is still present here, that our enemy Satan and the demons that are enslaved to him, these are our enemies. We don't have a human being on the earth ultimately in the eyes of God who is our enemy. There's some who have become children of God. There's some who have yet to become children of God. There are those who are walking yet in darkness. But as Jesus said from the cross, as he looked on each one of the apostles or each one of those gathered there, and he looks upon us, the great thing to do is put ourselves right there at the foot of the cross when Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so the mercy in the heart of Jesus that flows for the whole world flows from a heart, a living heart that's animated by the power of the Spirit. And in that, we see through the grace of God who Christ is and the relationship that we have with him and the gifts that he's given to us. And in the first chapter of John's Gospel, it's called the prologue, which volumes and volumes have been written about because it's so profound and so beautiful. I just want to read some of the beginning verses in that chapter and just touch on a few of them, just to begin our week, to be able to be lifted up, have our hearts lifted, have our minds lifted, up and above all the discouragement, the challenges, the difficulties, the fears and things that might be bothering us. Let's let the Word of God feed us and give us strength so we can be renewed as we enter into today and by God's grace into this week. So chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is one of the most profound declarations of the divinity of Jesus in the entire New Testament. He's the Word of the Father. He was eternally begotten of the Father, the Creed tells us. And all things were made through him. We hear that from Paul in one of his letters and other places in the New Testament, that everything was made through Jesus. Everything was made for Christ. That means you and that means me. Jesus was there at the beginning of all things, the beginning of the creation of all things. The next verse is what I want to kind of begin to hone in on. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. One of my favorite lines in the entire New Testament, in him was life. The scriptures tell us in Luke's gospel at the beginning, you know, that we are a people who walk in darkness. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. What's the darkness? The darkness is the dominion of Satan, the dominion of the powers of sin and death. And as a result, the human heart is cloaked at some level in that darkness, and our minds are darkened, and we can't see clearly. So what John the Apostle, the beloved apostle, is telling us, he said, he's describing for us what he saw and what was revealed to them. He said, in him, that is in Jesus, in Christ, who is the Word of God, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's the beginning of verse 4. So at times when I think about this verse, the phrase, the light of men, when I think about light, I think about coming to a deeper understanding, like the light goes on in my mind. And so there's truth revealed in the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of the church, the teaching of Jesus, and the deeds of Jesus. Something's revealed there, and we can see reality with his help. He reveals what we cannot access on our own because our minds are darkened and they're limited and we're alienated from God, strangers far away. But John presses in, I think, more deeply here. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, the life that's in Jesus is the central reality, is the light that is being revealed to human beings. Jesus is the Word of God, the Word spoken by the Father from the heart of the Father to the human race for the salvation of the world. Christianity is the religion that begins in the heart of a loving Father, our Maker, our Creator, who for God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. He sent his Son to save us. And through his Son, he's communicating to us. God the Father is speaking to us. Jesus said to see him is to see the Father. He tells us everything the Father tells him. He said he does everything the Father tells him to do. Jesus has come to give the human race what the Father desires each one of us to know, and not only to know, but to become. And to see the mystery, Paul talks about it, the mystery that was hidden for ages, really in the heart of God, has now been revealed to us. And it's not just information. It's not just important knowledge. It's not even just commandments. Commandments of God are sure and true and good, and they themselves shed light on our path. But something deeper is happening in this revelation. That the light that turns on for men, the light that has come into the world, is the very life of God, the divine life. And the divine life is in a person. It's in Jesus. And we begin to see what the gospel, what's at the heart of the gospel, what's at the heart of Christianity. Christianity is the place in which human beings come to encounter God's ultimate revelation for the human race. The revelation that God's plan to save humanity is not just with a new set of rules, as I said, not just with a new set of commandments, but he's come to give us what we don't have, a share in divine life, a life that will never die. We walk in the shadows in the earth. The world is under the dominion of darkness, which is the power of death, Scripture teaches us. And that power dominates. It dominates the life of every human being. Every human being dies. Everything dies. But Jesus entered the world, and there was a life in him that was greater. It's kind of such an impoverished term trying to communicate what's in Jesus, the divine life. But what got revealed through Jesus is the Father's plan to unite heaven and earth in his son. And his son was so identified with us that he came to us to draw us into that life. And this is his gift to us. And this light is hidden in Christ and his incarnation. We see it through his preaching, his signs and wonders, but it's revealed in his resurrection and his ascension into glory. And Jesus is telling us, and the Father is speaking to us through the life of Jesus, that as we follow him, the journey that was Christ's journey now becomes our own. There's a new power in you that enables you to be conformed to Jesus and to begin to live his life in this life and to begin to come into a relationship with the Father that frees your heart, that takes you deeper into the experience of the love that created you, and you become more conformed to the person of Jesus, which is amazing, very, very exciting. And Jesus produces it day by day. Scripture says he leads you from one glory to the next. Even though our body is wasting away, even though our body's experiencing the reality of a fallen world, there's something in you that is not subject to that. It's the life of Christ. The life that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. So John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness, death, doesn't get the last word. There's something in you that is so profound. It's greater. It's greater than everything big and important that's going on in the world, you might say. That every civilization, as important as they are and how needed they are for people to live in and to be a part of, they're all going to pass away. All the big things human beings create, it's all going to pass away. The most delightful things, physical things in this world, they're all going to pass away. But something in this world's not going to pass away. It's the life of God that's in each and every one of us. The life of those who are, as John will go on to say, who have come to the light and have received it. They've come to see in Jesus. John said he came to bear witness to that light. What is that light? Again, it's the life that's in Jesus. John came to say, look at him. There's the Son of God, God's only begotten Son. And he's come to give us, John will say, the power to become children of God. None of us, by virtue of our human generation, are children of God in this distinct sense. In a general way, we're children of God because we're all created by God. But we're fallen and separated. And what we need to become children of God in the way that John's talking about it is to come into that life that we see, the life that's revealed in the person of Jesus. And that light is this new life. And John would even go so far as to say, we beheld his glory. We saw the glory of the only Son of God. And this is the glory that he wants to give to each and every one of us. And so by virtue of our yes to Jesus, our repentance and turning to him, our entering the waters of baptism, living in his body, in his church, receiving the life that's in the sacraments, we go deeper and deeper. We're given supernatural power. Supernatural life is in us. And friends, at moments like this in our culture, when it's just full of discouragement and confusion and one burden after another, we can forget that all of this is going to pass away before you know it. And the Lord wants us to draw from the resource that's in us, that he's come to make his home in us. And what you have is the very life of the King in you. Thanks be to God. Have a blessed day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.